from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/wv. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, members of both the House and Senate are focused on a problem that needs a quick fix, balancing the 2016 budget. What the chairs of the House and Senate Finance Committee say their chambers are doing to find a solution. Common Core was the subject of a public hearing in the House yesterday, and a special report on a program that's helping children who experience a trauma at home return to school. Those stories coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Members of the Senate voted this morning to accept House changes to the West Virginia Workplace Freedom Act. The bill would make West Virginia a right-to-work state. The Senate vote means the legislation heads to Governor Tomlin's desk. Tomlin says he'll veto it, but it takes only a simple majority vote of each chamber to override his disapproval. Now that the controversial right to work and prevailing wage repeal are essentially behind them, lawmakers are once again focusing in on the challenge of balancing the state's budget. In such a tight fiscal year, senators are leaning on the governor for guidance.
During their Friday morning meeting, members of the Senate Finance Committee took up a critical yet complex bill requested by Governor Tomlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Melissa said, Senate Bill 419 addresses both the current year shortfall and will help balance the FY17 budget gap.
Okay, let's pause. That's Michael Cook. He's the committee's budget policy analyst. But to understand what he's saying, we have to go back a little further, a little further. There, to Governor Tomlin's State of the State address on January 13th of this year.
All of us in this chamber tonight, and those watching and listening across the state, know that we're experiencing budget challenges unseen in more than a generation.
Those challenges are real. By June, Tomlin's staff says the state will have collected about $354 million less than projected during the 2016 fiscal year, and lawmakers are now left to try to fill that gap. Tomlin offered solutions in his annual speech, an executive order that cut agency budgets by 4%, tax increases, dipping into the rainy day fund, and the bill lawmakers took up today, Senate Bill 419.
Tonight, I am introducing legislation to pay off our old workers' compensation debt more than a decade ahead of schedule.
Years ago, okay, not that many years ago, better. Years ago, lawmakers implemented a special severance tax on the coal, natural gas, and timber industries. That tax was dedicated to pay off the state's workers' compensation debt, payments that are made to employees injured on the job. Tomlin's staff says the state is set to pay off that debt earlier than expected by June of this year. So the governor's bill does three things. It slows the payments of the debt, collects the extra revenue to balance the 2016 and 2017 budgets, and then repeals the extra taxes for the coal and gas industries by the end of the fiscal year. Finance Chair Mike Hall says that offers the reeling industries some relief.
There may be hundreds of jobs in the balance here, and this is a balancing act on trying to deal with that reality, at the same time deal with the reality of the state budget. The
recommendation Still, assuming this bill is approved by both chambers and signed by the governor, lawmakers still need to find more than $46 million to make up for the budget shortfall. So where are lawmakers looking?
Well, actually, the governor initially proposed, where we're looking, well, that's a good question.
The governor wants the legislature to find those dollars in revenue increases, raising the state's tobacco tax and implementing a sales tax on cell phones and landlines by April 1st. Hall says that's just not going to happen.
So we're going to have to look at other sources of revenue that exist. You know, there's balances, they're called reappropriated balances and cash balances. And that's just about the only place we can go, is to go expire some of those monies that are laying on the table here and there and bring them back in.
But those are one-time monies, dollars that won't be generated again next year through tax collections. It's not a perfect solution, Hall says, but the budget must be balanced by June 30th. The job isn't over, though, once this year's gap is filled. Tomlin predicts next year the state will be more than $450 million short in revenues, so Hall and his staff are working to prepare a 2017 budget with that in mind.
Well, right now I've got a calculator back in my office that shows if you have no new revenue at all, where that money could be found in the agencies, and it's pretty draconian. So I don't think many of those can suffer much more in terms of cuts. So it's not yet in good shape, although what we're doing today with our caucus and with others is going over where we really are with this and what some solutions may have to be.
Hall says there are creative solutions, like spreading payments for pension debts over a longer period of time. But the actual solution hasn't yet been found.
What other agencies?
In the House, members are also doing what they can to deal with the budget deficit. That includes putting three of Governor Tomlin's bills to a vote Monday. Liz McCormick reports.
Senate bills 342, 357, and 360 are all aimed at balancing the 2016 budget. Governor Tomlin's budget officials say the state will end the fiscal year in June with a nearly $400 million budget gap, and West Virginia lawmakers are constitutionally required to balance the budget each fiscal year. House Finance Chairman Delegate Eric Nelson of Kanawha County says the three Senate bills were introduced on behalf of the governor and complement each other.
In an overall summary, they're basically moving expenditures for Medicaid from the general revenue line item over to lottery. And so the very first bill that'll be up is expiring $53 million from general revenue and moving that to lottery. And within that is roughly $9.8 million that's for Title 19 programs or senior services. And a follow-up bill basically requires immediate expenditures out of lottery for that $9.8 to help fund the Title 19 programs in this fiscal year of 16. Then there is another $10 million that's being expired out of lottery to fund other Medicaid services, leaving roughly $34 million that will be covered in next year's fiscal year.
All three bills will be up for a vote on Monday in the chamber. Combined with funding measures being considered in the Senate and actions already taken by the governor, Nelson says the state is in good shape for the current fiscal year, despite a debate lawmakers had on the floor earlier this week. Democrats are pushing the Republican majority in the House to take on funding shortfalls for PEIA, the state's public employee health care program. But Nelson says that's a task for the 2017 budget.
Our current fiscal year, which ends in June, we're fully covered. The employees, there is no change. And so what we're looking at into next fiscal year, 17, that begins July 1, the governor's proposed 40-some million dollars of new monies that will basically, on an 80-20 split, it'll be a shared premium adjustment for the employer as well as the employee.
The governor's new monies Nelson refers to would come from an increase in the state's tobacco tax, something that has not yet been proposed to the chamber. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
The House Education Committee held a public hearing yesterday on a bill that repeals the state's Common Core-based education standards. It also requires the State Board of Education to find new standards and new assessments for West Virginia students. Board members voted to repeal those standards in December and replace them with the West Virginia College and Career Ready standards, but lawmakers are not yet ready to give up the fight. Citizens supporting the bill called the state board a fourth branch of government that lacks accountability. But those opposed say education should be left to educators, not politicians. Here's some of the testimony from yesterday's hearing.
Common Core is not just about educational standards. It is about who is controlling education. It is about corporate greed and at the expense of our children. It is about the federal government intruding into our classrooms, ignoring the 10th Amendment, and bribing the states. We have sold our state sovereignty and relinquished parental rights for a federal dollar, and this must end.
I feel we need a constitutional amendment to get rid of that fourth branch of government. They've been acting in their own interest, not in our children's interest, not in our parents, in their own interest. One instance, Mr. Martorano planned to have a secret panel allowing no one, the press or anyone else, and it was in the paper, there was an article about it. I read it in the Parkersburg paper and cut it out to save. You know, this is an overreach of our Constitution. There is a Freedom of Information Act, and he was bypassing that completely.
At a time when the state is facing a budget shortfall of over $350 million, and our public employees face $120 million in cuts to our health care benefits, the legislature proposes another bill to strip the education standards that have been vetted and revised by the professional experts and teachers who spend every day educating our children. How much additional money are we willing to spend debating an issue that won't help our teachers teach?
This legislature should move against Common Core and in favor of your own constitutional authority over education. The founders believed that you would fight to defend your constitutional powers. Paraphrasing Alexander Hamilton, he wrote that state legislatures would always be vigilant guardians of the rights of your citizens against encroachments from the federal government and would be constantly awake to the conduct of the federal government and would be ready, if anything improper appears, to sound the alarm to the people and not only be the voice, but if necessary, the arm of our discontent. So I'm here today requesting that our representatives act as vigilant guardians against encroachments from the federal government upon our rights and the sovereignty of this great state.
There are elements in this bill that go way, way too far beyond the authority and, frankly, the capability of the legislature. The Department of Education, with the approval of the State Board, must remain responsible for the research, vetting, and selection of the vendors providing products and services to our students and to our schools. Specific reference, as done in this bill, to any particular vendor is totally inappropriate. The bill also has provisions that are frankly encourages a parent to even consider having their child opt out of statewide summative assessments. This, of course, destroys the test validity, not to mention is extremely irresponsible.
Folks, there's a difference in standards and curriculum, a huge difference. And one of the things that we have to understand is that many years ago when we adopted the Common Core standards, they were 80% of the standards that we were using before that. It's because there's so many things that you can do in education, and they coincide. So then we go away from the Common Core and we do the next gen standards, and now we go from the next gen to the West Virginia Career and Readiness Standards. If you want to do away with the Common Core standards, tell me what we're going to teach. Because there's only so many standards that are out there. There are only so many things you can do. And if you do away with them, and this bill passes that says you cannot do anything related to Common Core standards, that leaves us with about 20% of the things that we can actually teach. Is that really what you want to do?
I strongly oppose HB 4014 as written because I view it as a disruptive and a destabilizing bill that will disrupt the educational delivery model. It will prevent our young people from becoming college and career ready. However, I beg one more time, I ask for feedback to engage all individuals in the conversation to improve education.
I would just like to do a math problem with everyone. This is a third grade level Common Core math. Add 26 plus 17. The way I learned it when I was grade school. 6 plus 7, 13, carry the 1. 2 plus 1 plus 1 is 4, 43. Well, let's do it the Common Core math way. Add 26 plus 17 by breaking apart numbers to make a 10. Use a number that adds with the 6 in 26 to make a 10. Since 6 plus 4 equals 10, use 4. Think 17 equals 4 plus 13. Add 26 plus 4 equals 30. Add 30 plus 13. Well, that equals 43. So 26 plus 17 equals 43. That just seems a little complicated to me, and I have personally spoke to math teachers in West Virginia that are terrified of this new Common Core math.
Ron Stallings was elected to the West Virginia Senate in 2006. He's a Democrat from Boone County and represents the state's 7th senatorial district. He's also a former member of the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission and is a former chairman of the Corridor G Redevelopment Authority. Frank Blackwell is a Democrat from Wyoming County. He represents the state's 25th House District. Blackwell was appointed to his seat in January 2016 by Governor Tomlin to replace former Delegate Linda Good Phillips, who resigned. Delegate Blackwell was previously a member of the House, serving from 1977 until 1982. Cliff Moore was elected to the House of Delegates in 2004. He's a Democrat from McDowell County and represents the state's 26th House District. Delegate Moore serves as the Assistant Minority Whip and the Minority Chair of the Banking Committee.
In 2013, the West Virginia Center for Children's Justice launched a program called Handle with Care. The collaborative program is meant to help children who've experienced abuse, neglect, or other types of trauma at home succeed when they return to school. Charleston's Handle with Care initiative is now expanding across the state and in other communities across the nation. Roxy Todd spent a day at Mary C. Snow Elementary School on Charleston's west side, where it all began.
Mary C. Snow Elementary School is located in a neighborhood where it can be stressful to be a child. The west side of Charleston has gained a bad reputation for drug crimes and violence, and in 2014, the city of Charleston as a whole saw an increase in both criminal activity and violent crimes. While these crimes are usually committed by adults, that doesn't mean children aren't affected by them. And that's where the Handle with Care program comes into play. If a child is exposed to crime, violence, or abuse, police notify the principal and school counselor by the start of the next school day. Janet Alio is the school nurse at Mary C. Snow.
When I first heard about the Handle with Care program, I thought, that's the program for us, because we have probably 75% of our children are in some form of traumatized living environment from a day-to-day situation. Sometimes it's repeated belly aches or repeated headaches. We just had a situation recently where a child who normally doesn't come to the clinic started coming in every morning with a headache, with a headache, with a headache. And so at that, if I see that it becomes a pattern, or if they look like they may be in distress when they come in, then, you know, I will go ahead and talk to them, say, you know, well, how was your night? What was, you know, did anything happen over the weekend?
But it's not always clear when something traumatic has occurred in a student's life. The first step in the Handle with Care program is when police officers send schools a form after they respond to traumatic events with children present.
And this form just merely says the child's name, the date and time of the incident, and that's it.
Ms. Helm teaches special ed at Mary C. Snow Elementary.
When I start to see the emotion coming,
I call it to attention and we talk about it.
She says Handle With Care helps teachers modify the way they interact with children who need special attention.
Because when you have a kid that's not typically acting out, then all of a sudden the child's acting out. For a teacher, that can be frustrating. But if you know, okay, there's something going on with that child, then as a teacher, you know, okay, let me look at things differently. Let me try to accommodate the child in a way that would help the child. Or let me see if, okay, I can get the counselor to talk with the child at that time. But I think more so when we know that there's something, then we know how to handle it in a different fashion.
The second step is where the school staff figure out what resources a child might need if they've experienced a traumatic event. Sometimes it's talking with a school counselor or going to the health center for some extra sleep or spending time in the library with the school's therapy dog, Paka. Or, if the parent gives permission, the child might also be matched up with a counselor who travels to the school. This is Ethan Napier and his mother, Lenitra Woodson. They're talking with Colleen Moran, a therapist with Harmony Health Services. She comes to the health center here at Mary C. Snow to help children cope with stress and traumatic situations.
Some of the types of things that we do are teaching relaxation. With children, a lot of times you'll use play activities to do that, such as blowing bubbles for breathing exercises or teaching them to tense and release their muscles to get rid of muscle tension. If you do it in a way that's a game, they're much more likely to do it and they don't realize that they're working and that they're making therapeutic progress. Play is a child's work, and that's how they work through things, and that's how they learn, and that's how they make sense of their world.
For many children, just trying to make sense of their world can be a struggle. In 2012, Ethan's brother Jalil Clements was killed when he was hit by a car on the interstate. Jalil was trying to wave down someone to help his mother, who was being beaten by her boyfriend in their car. The mental health center here was named in Jalil's memory. But for children who are left to deal with trauma all on their own, there can be fatal consequences. A report called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study found that children who experienced trauma early in life were more likely to abuse substances, smoke, and overeat. Children who experience abusive and stressful situations could lose as much as 20 years off their life, compared with children who grow up in stable, loving families. But teachers and other adults in a child's life can help if they know what to look out for.
Life does happen, and it's teaching them how to handle things when life happens, that we can still function, you know, we can get the love, we can get the support, the nurture that we need. And basically when they come here and we get that Handle With Care, basically we look at what do they need and how can we help them, and then we fill in from there.
Ms. Helm recently visited a meeting with teachers from across West Virginia.
And in one of those meetings, a teacher brought this up, that there's so much trauma going on in their schools and they don't know how to handle it because they don't have the Handle With Care. And they don't know what resources do we tap into. This is an ongoing problem. It's a growing problem. And one thing they was emphasizing there is that they're seeing it more and more in their younger kids. And that's what basically we have here. We're seeing it in our younger kids.
The Handle With Care program has been supported without any extra funding, except for the resources already available to schools to help children who need mental care. The program is part of a collaboration between the Department of Justice and their Defending Childhood Initiative, the State Department of Health and Human Resources, and the West Virginia State Police. These groups are now working to help bring Handle With Care to communities throughout West Virginia. There are also similar programs that have sprouted in other states. When President Obama visited West Virginia last year to talk about drug abuse across the nation, he took note of the Handle With Care program.
And I'd really like to see us advertise this more across the country and adopt this as a best practice.
With drug overdose rates in West Virginia the highest in the country, Ms. Helm says more and more teachers are noticing children who are dealing with abuse and neglect.
So it's definitely more prominent now than before. I think before we always thought it was just isolated to Westside Elementary, but now realizing, no, it's going on everywhere. And people are needing answers, they're needing support, they're needing to understand what is Handle With Care, because that question was asked there. And what do you do, you know, with how does that program work? And so definitely, it's much needed in other places.
But as drug abuse and domestic violence continue to barrage families across West Virginia, there simply aren't enough resources to help children deal with trauma. Harmony Health Services, which provides mental health services to the students at Mary C. Snow Elementary, is working to get a mobile mental health care facility for some of the remote areas of West Virginia. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
This has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. We'll see you back here next week.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu. AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/wv. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.